Yo, welcome to Red River Podcast. We get to, we have Brian Marr here from Blacksuit Youth again, probably third or fourth time.
Hello.
He wanted to come on for episode 187. I feel like we shot our nut a little too early. You know what I mean? But because 187 just, I don't know what was the significance of 187 other than Dre and these
That was
fucking
it. I
headphones.
want to go 187 on a motherfucking cop on this shit, dude, but that was
Yeah.
all I wanted, man. But I mean, the
That
fact
makes
you even
sense.
tried to make it happen, being your least illustrious guest, like I really appreciate
Oh,
it,
there's
you
so many there. Yeah, I mean, we just had Parker on. You couldn't get more least illustrious than that.
No, Parker, actually, in like the grand scale of like luminaries, I think Parker's higher than me in like the level. I'm not selling out fucking
Don't
Warsaw,
sell
dude.
yourself short.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short. You're
Yeah, man.
one Kiam last name away from selling out Warsaw too.
I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get
Yeah,
there.
for sure. Right now I'm staring at my fucking orange cat about to like knock something over. God, he's
Is
such a
he gonna
little
pounce
shit.
down on you? Like fucking.
Nah, he's just like fucking like, man, he's just mad disrespectful, man, And he knows that I can't just get up and be unprofessional and stop the podcast that's going out to the 10 people, including Rob Link, man. What's up, Rob Link? How you doing?
Shout out to Link out there,
Yeah. Anyway, so all right, you have a new record, so I figured let's just talk about the new record, because you're like me, someone that just continuously makes music. I mean, you have such a extensive like catalog, so let's just talk some goddamn music. What the fuck is 59X Records? Like, what is that?
They're a record label, collective boutique label, however, the parlance of the day is now, with the marketing terms. But they're based out of Atlanta, and they had signed us back to a deal in like 2015. I mean, it took a while to get our first record done because we went down there and recorded it and whatnot.
How'd
And
you link
then
with a label from fucking Atlanta?
the interwebs. And no, actually, the president was originally from Long Island, so it was a guy that I knew. He was actually when he was like a kid. He was like an intern at Killingsworth Studio where we used to record. So he kind of like hung out with us when he was like a high school kid and watching us drink and hang out with like all the girls who hung around the studio and whatnot and stuff. And he just continued with it and he built a studio. He became an amazing mixing engineer. I mean, this kid can really take any recording and make it sound fantastic. It is pretty amazing. What's Peter Catalano is his name, what he can do.
Why did he go to Atlanta? Just
Because
curious.
that's where life took him. He ended up, I think he went to Clemson, so he stayed. That's out in South Carolina, so I think he just naturally kept going more south. And he played in bands and whatnot. I mean, while he was living away, his band toured up through the Midwest, and we linked up with them in like Cincinnati and did a gig. I was like sick as a dog at that gig, but I was good seeing him, and we always remained cool. So like when he started this thing, he was like, I like to do something with Blacksuit Youth. I feel like you guys didn't get your due. I want to try to help you. And listen, anytime anybody wants to like pay to make your record and put it out, you say yes, so you don't have to.
Honestly, that is completely the case for sure. And obviously, like you said, Killingsworth, like, right, that's the name of the place. Like, that was like Tomas, right?
Yeah, Tomas Costanza of Diffuser, who apparently I think they may be getting back together. But
Yeah.
he had that studio after he left that band. And it was just like a vibe, man, from like 2004 to like 2008. That place, you just go there any night of the
Well,
week. People were always hanging out and partying. It was wild,
because I
And we had a room
remember,
there.
I remember the, Magnetic North guys went
Of
there.
course, they had the back room. They had room three. We had room one or A or C, whatever. So
And
they came in. We toured with them,
it was the first time I remember like linking up with Pete. Well, I mean, we were friends because Rich played on like the first Playing Dead EP, which is 20 years old today,
That's
or like a
wild,
few.
man. Yeah,
I think, I don't remember, maybe it's not today, but like. Side note, I was like, yo, what if we like took those five songs and just redid them today? Because I couldn't sing. Like when I li there those five songs were unlistenable because I didn't know how to sing. I was
who
always,
couldn't? I mean,
but I mean, like I was always playing backup guitar and singing backup. So it's like, okay. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna try to sing lead. But anyway, that was the first time I remember guys that I knew being like, hey, we, there's this producer, and they would talk about working with Tomas. And like obviously Intuit just had these longer songs, which was the band that turned into Magnetic North. And then, you know, next thing you know, they have these songs that are just literally like 15 seconds before this big chorus hits.
No fat, just hook, 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 banger. Like
Yeah.
we were like sitting in the control room when they were tracking that EP, and it was some were sitting there listening to them recording that song only as directed, and we were like, geez, if we could sound half as good as this, we're gonna be good. You know what I mean? Like it was awesome how good that stuff sounded. You know, like.
Yeah, and you know, Dave Case is just, you know, to this day, Dave currently plays in the band Helmet, plays bass with them, touring wherever the hell he is right now. But he was always just like a little extra better than everyone else.
He just has
Right?
that je ne sais quoi. He's got an amazing voice, great
Yeah.
guitar player, great singer, just better sense of art history than most of the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, but he was always
You
like
know?
he would play whatever position was needed.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, bass player just playing bass to guitar player singing backup to lead singer, to the Exploder One stuff, which was like pretty unique for that
I love
time.
Exploder One, man.
Yeah, they were a
I
lot of
still have
fun.
that. I
Yeah,
still have
I
that
want.
fucking first record on the back of it. It's like got a diagram of how to open a condom and throw it in the trash and burn it. Said it was recorded at the Hit Factory
Yeah.
by Rick Rubin. Like they had the best sense of humor. Those guys are
They
hysterical, you know?
did. So instead of I want my MTV, no, I want your
Yeah.
STD. Yeah, it was
I want
great.
your CD, yeah. But I
Yeah.
mean, but Magnetic North, I mean, the level of talent in that band, I mean, we were on the road with them, just we watched them night after night and we were like, dude, I mean the Growl Brothers
Yeah.
killing it on like drums and keyboards, Rich, obviously, Eric, like those guys were so damn good, you know? Like, they
Well,
were so tight, you know? And it made us better. Every night we're like, we gotta play as good as these guys. So it made us have to like really work hard, you know? Like,
That's why we got so like for the first EP was Freddie on drums for us and Rich on lead guitar, and that's why when you listen to the music, it's still cool. And we ended up adding like a cello player. You know, basically my mind of
as one
songwriting,
does. Obviously.
my songwriting mind was way ahead of my abilities. Like my abilities were like, I don't know what we're doing. And my brain, I'm like, yeah, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, we're gonna bring in the fucking November
Problem, man,
Rain.
is you're just a walking concert, man. That's what it is, you know. It's all in there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I was pretty terrible at it, but yeah, so like working with a producer basically. I know that this one you guys self-produced, right? Did you guys, when was the last time you actually use a producer that was going in there to like
It was
fucking
like
like
50-50 on the last record, The World's Almost Over, just because of by nature of the pandemic, we couldn't do everything we wanted to do in Atlanta, and we did have it in New York, so we had to work via remote, which just wasn't, when the guy's not in the room with you hands on, it is different, you know. I mean, we would send cuts and demos, and we'd get notes back, and we don't, you know, if we agree with them or didn't, we'd try it, you know, whatever. But it's different when the guy's in the room with you being like, what the fuck are you doing? That should be an A, not
Yeah.
an A sharp, fucko. You know, like, but Tomas was the lord of that. I mean, like, Pete's fairly easygoing. He can definitely be high strung at certain points. But Tomas, you'd be attempting to a song. You'd be like, stop, garbage, throw it out, try again, you know? Or, you know, we thought we'd have a sick song. You'd be like, the song has no fucking chorus. It has an A part and a B part, but that's not a verse and a chorus. And you have to start recognizing that. And recognizing how to employ tension and release and like dynamics,
Yeah.
things that you, when you're a 4/4 skate punk, you know, you don't really think in that dynamic. You think dynamic is just the Bad Religion oohs and ahs to make the chorus bigger, you know? Like,
No, you're right. When yo, tension and release is big. Absolutely very big. Dynamics, very big. But also you have to trust someone. Like, you know, like if
oh, yeah.
I just remember like the hearing the those stories of Tomas, and I've never met the guy, and obviously, you know, he's had success, but like at that age, at that point in my life, I was watching, I just couldn't understand how they would let someone do that, because I didn't really, even back then, like those early 2000s, I didn't really understand what a producer was.
Well,
I
he
didn't
had
understand.
credentials. He had gone further than any of the rest of us. You
Yeah,
know, he
yeah.
came out of the same clubs and he made it to the fucking Playboy Mansion. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, whoa, this guy toured Japan. He had a song on the Mission Impossible soundtrack. Like, so
And you listen to it. Yeah.
that's the highest. Yeah. Now, initially, don't get me wrong, I was a hard-headed, brash youth. And when I first encountered him when I was in the Neverenders, And we butted heads. We didn't really hit it off so well off the beginning. And I ended up kind of our not being able to get along got me bounced out of that band. So then it was funny that I came back to him to produce Black Sea Youth, you know, when it was called the New York Dynamite, whatever. Because I saw what he did for the band I was in and how the night and day difference. And I was like, and I saw that people and girls were actually coming to their shows now because they had better songs and I wanted that. I didn't want to keep playing for the same six dudes, you know?
Shout out
So,
to
you know,
Rob
you're like,
Link once again.
and you know, I'm still playing to Rob Link and I still
And Greg.
appreciate every word of wisdom and criticism he has because he'll always tell you how it is, you know?
I fucking love, yo, when I see Rob, when we're playing and I see Rob, I don't even care. I'm like, as long as, like, tonight, when you guys are playing Barfrida tonight, right? So that's very close to you. We're Cover Me Bad's going to do some covers for St. Patty's at that Long Beach place.
Nice.
And hopefully Rob will be there, because it just it makes the show that much stronger.
Of
Unless he's going
course.
to be in Queens, who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, our show is going to be pretty loose. We got a Fed's actually away in Florida, and we have a fill-in drummer. Brian Contreras, our old drummer, is filling back in. And he hasn't played with us in a long time, and we had one rehearsal. But, you know, Choke City, our boys, they're doing a gig. Lou's coming up from Florida, so we didn't want to miss it. And we love all the Sunken Temple guys and shit, so you wanted to definitely be there representing. So we
So
put
three
together
piece.
something. We're gonna be the most insane, you know, fucking triangle offense since the 96 Bulls, man. We're ready, you know, we're gonna do this shit tonight, you
So
know.
I know the deal. Like, the last few times we played Barfrida, we played it two members short every single time. One was Rich didn't show up, so we had no leads, and then the other one, Jason, wasn't there. Actually, yeah, that's the one you were at.
And it makes you know what? It's a less cozy stage then, you know, you have a little more room to breathe,
A
you know.
little bit more room. So, like, what do you do for the set list for a three piece?
Sometimes I would just play some of the leads, but honestly, we're just gonna Ramones it this time. We're gonna play tunes. It's just gonna be like Green Day where there's another verse and there's no fucking solo. I don't care. It's rock and roll. Like I used to be so strict about stuff, or you know, we used to just overkill, study long, study wrong, over rehearse. And it's like, you know what? We go and do a gig without him rehearsing and we're better now. You know what I mean? We know what we're doing. We've been doing this for so many fucking years. It's gonna be what it is. It'll be loose, it'll be fun. We picked out the songs that were easiest for him to learn and ones he already knew. That's kind of the genesis of how it's gonna be for Brian, the guy filling in on drums, you know. So he learned a
Yeah,
bunch of
go.
new songs, of course, because we have a record out, so we would want to play some of it. But we
Yeah.
went back to, all right, he knows this song, he knows this song. Let's make it easier for the guy. You know what I mean?
Let's go back to the label thing. So this dude, like, how the relationship basically started there, and then from there, Fall South was the first thing that you guys did together.
Yeah. We put that out. It's pretty good for us. I mean, for a band that didn't exist for like 5 years to come back and do that, started to get some attention. You know, I was doing the podcast when that first came out. And then we went back to do our second record. Our drummer left, B. Nelson, who's an amazing like live and studio drummer, who we're lucky enough he wants to play with us because he's ridiculous.
He's a character, man. So,
I know.
like, Lee messages me pure nonsense sometimes, and it's very
Mean,
funny.
he likes
And
you, man.
yeah, I'm a Lee fan. I think I might even go see. So Langan, Lee is in a bunch of bands, including a Def Leppard tribute band that's playing
Oh, shit. He's
Riverhead.
hanging out. He was fucking hanging out with
Really?
Rick Allen the other day, dude.
Oh,
this place on Main Street, that theater. I did see some ad, I think, pop in for that. What's the
Yeah.
name of the band? Does that have like a
Adrenalized.
play on? Okay,
Adrenalized.
it's got to have a play on a Def
Yeah, of
Leppard song.
course.
That's the rules for that. No,
Well,
but
they
awesome.
picked the best album to name themselves after, for sure. So hopefully we get
Not
some
a
Let's Go.
fan. Shout out fucking Steve Clark, baby, forever.
No,
Is
100%.
Adrenalized the one with that had the video? That
Yeah,
real
Let's Get
that
Rocked.
computer, yes,
Yeah,
with the kid walking
that was along
down
with
the street.
Vivian
That
Campbell on most. Oh no, actually, he's in the videos, but I don't think he even played on the record. I think Phil Collin did all the guitars on that whole album.
it
Yeah.
had it
All
had you
right.
know, there are some okay songs on there, but that was like the beginning of like the dip for sure.
Well, that
And
song from The Last Action Hero was on that record, right? That
two
Stalker
steps
song.
behind.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go after you've made this? I mean, like, there's only going down from there. I mean, as far as that album was, how many did that sell? I mean, I can't even fucking comprehend.
But,
I mean, you made literally a technological masterpiece that cannot be replicated even by yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
yeah, so
Yep.
Lee rules. I mean, the whole team, really, you know, Lee, Juan, and Federico, or I mean, I guess we'll go with Fed, but you put together like a team of kind of like
Ferdinand
ringers.
is his actual name, by the way.
What is it? Oh, is it Ferdinand?
Ferdinand, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, your boy Ferdinand. But you put together like just like really like ringer team, you know? So like, how did those pieces start coming together?
They just found me, man. I mean, you know, we've been through, you know, as the band recoalesced in that era, we had a couple of drummers and bass players. I mean, this band's had 13, 14 bass players by this point. I mean, you know, they're hard to keep, but Juan's had it been in it for a long time. Fed, you know, he was his band had just split, and then he was looking for a band, so he came and hung out with us, and like we're like, this guy is ridiculous. Like, felt
Well,
like we were trying out for him, you
well,
know. I
he
mean, like,
played in a King Diamond tribute band, right?
yeah, but he was in a band called
Oh
Cold
shit.
Steel, and he was in Mr. Clean. That was like a cover band that was like slowing down at that point, so he had a lot of freedom, you know.
Yeah,
So he came and played.
he definitely like, you know, obviously you're not, you know, we're not in the business of shred music. But you could tell when he's got a solo in one of your songs, you're like, oh, this guy looks like he's gearing up to do something real fancy. And he fucking like he
Dude, I mean,
doesn't
we're
even
still to
look.
this day, we're at like sound check, and the other bands run over and just start watching him. It's hysterical. You know what I mean? I'm
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
what the fuck is going on? You know?
He, you know, but like I said, all three of them are very good. So
Yeah, dude. I mean, I honestly, when I feel like when I play with these guys, man, when it comes to like their big moments to shine, I feel like Yanni live at the Acropolis. I look over and I'm like, I know that guy's about to do the sickest shit. And then it's like Lee's gonna do the craziest fill, you know? Like,
Yeah.
oh, yeah, I know. It's
And
like team I have is going to do wild stuff. It's awesome, you know?
also, the thing that Lee does is he sings.
Yeah, he's a better singer than I'll ever be. And same thing with Fed. They're all better than me, you know? I'm
Which is.
lucky. I'm like a dude who I'm carried by all of them, you know? Like, I just have the ability to put songs together and have the patience to do it. That's all I can bring, you know?
And
Like,
that's the
is
important part
that.
because yeah, everyone has the
I was
position,
just going to
but.
say if you write all the songs or you guys like collaborate, like what's your process with?
It's everything. Like, I'll write them up start to finish. I'll come in with a skeleton. They'll rip it apart. We'll just be jamming and a song will appear. One of them will have something and then I'll work on it. Yada, yada. I mean, it comes from everywhere, usually, you know. It's just, you know, it's just hard to see what rises to the surface, you know,
Sure.
like.
What, you know, just like, you know, you could ask me the same thing, but like, what keeps you playing?
I just every time I'm like, you know, after this one, that'll probably be it. Then I wake up one day and I have something in my head. I'm like, oh, I got it. Now I got to live long enough to finish this song, you know? Or it's just like always wanted to get. It's just it's in you. It's never going to come out, you know? Like, I mean, now I'm sitting here playing guitar for my kid most of the time, and I'll run little parts by him and see how he bobs to it, you know? Like it's fun, you know? But yeah, it's
How old is your
just
son now?
15 months. So he can
Wow.
stand on my leg and like I'll play and he'll like rock back and forth or he'll be like that sucks and crawl away.
Yeah.
It's
Well,
hysterical. Yeah.
Brian, you know, Langen up there, your son's already, you know,
He's playing, right?
the trajectory really, like he went from like not, I remember you're like, he doesn't even like music to now he's like in the house band.
It's
That
wild,
is
man.
crazy. Yeah, I used to have to be like, yo, practice, practice, practice. You got to put in your half hour or something. And now it's like, it's the best. Music's, there's nothing better, you know? It's,
We
how is that having a son? I mean, that's like it's changing, upends your whole life, man, for the greatest reasons. How has that
yeah, of course. And
been?
it's like it puts in perspective like what's really important. The shit I would get like bent about that wasn't going right, I just don't fucking care anymore. Like it's just like, you know, once you've just changed so much poop diapers or you've had to like take your kid to the hospital, you're dealing with like your wife or like you know, he had kind of a traumatic entry into the world. My wife like ended up having to have like surgeries and stuff after birth, so like she was kind of off the board in certain ways. So it was just, you know, a lot of times it's me and him and just getting real close, you know, and just this person who just looks up and depends on you for everything. I mean, like, if you don't put the bottle in that mouth, that kid's not eating, you know? So it's like, you know, it's a higher level of responsibility. So it's like, you know what? All this other stuff can wait. I ain't worried about it. You know, like, it really does change your outlook on everything, of course. You
sure.
know?
Yeah. For someone like me that just does never, it's just not in the cards ever whatsoever. But I do enjoy watching like my friends' kids like grow up and do stuff. Like when I watch your son's video and I'm thinking like, holy shit, Cover Me Bad has to learn Misery Business by Paramore. And there your son's playing it. And we're like, we should ask him how to do it.
Yeah, text him for
they
some
got
games.
A gig tomorrow for Bellport Brewery or something. Like, yeah. he learned like fucking 25 songs like last week. It's
That's
ridiculous.
That's,
I'm like,
you're
dude, you're
like
so much
too.
Better than I've ever.
That's
ever
the beauty of having nothing to worry about. Are they? Yeah, he knows that you're downstairs working hard. You know, he's like, I'll rock.
But that
these,
is
but...
true. You're such a sponge. You can like learn like 20 songs like pretty quick. Today, it's like,
I know.
It's just not, you're putting it in your brain, it's falling right out because you got all the other stuff you got to worry about.
Yeah.
You know,
like Kelly Bundy. Kelly Bundy forgets that the first thing. But going back to what I was saying, like, like having a kid would be, I don't know, like I would be nervous about everything, like, you know, sleeping through the night, being like, is he breathing?
Of course.
Like just everything, right?
Every first time I gave him solid food, I'm like, am I going to choke this kid to death? Like, it's the most terrifying thing in the world, yeah. You know, like. But
sometimes you like look in the room, make sure they're breathing while they're sleeping.
I imagine. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's a couple of times. I mean, I was giving him his bottle when he was very little. You have to always hold his head to support him because he doesn't have any neck muscle. And he kind of moved back a little bit and like it was a little like snap. I'm like, is he paralyzed? I'm like, what did I do? You know, like, but it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's just his bones cracking because he's, you know, got some air in there, you know.
Sure.
You'll definitely have to forfeit that number one dad mug if you broke his neck.
Yeah. But I mean, but they're also more resilient and robust than you think, too. You know,
big time.
Yeah. I mean, one time you almost rolled off the couch and I did like a dive and caught him. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in so much trouble if that fucking happened. You know? Now he jumps off, so I'm all right, you know. But
dude, my son was in this thing called like the nap nanny, which was like the only way he'd sleep. It was this piece of foam that was contoured and you're strapped in it. And he was rocking back and forth on like, and it was on the couch and bam, turned over, face plant. I thought the same thing he did. I was like, that's it. I'm like, my life is over. That's it.
Your wife is going to be like, what did you do?
I felt
he was there
the
too,
blood
thankfully. Otherwise, if I was like by myself, it would have been over for me.
But yeah, it's like, it is amazing. I mean, now like he's talking, he addresses you. It's so interesting, you know, like he's got a new word every couple of days. He's trying new things. It's so much fun, you know, and like, we just, you know, he loves music, you know, like he's playing stuff all the time, all different stuff. You know, some things he rocks out to, some things he's not sure about. It's interesting, you know.
Yeah,
how
sure.
Long before you show him Revenge of the Nerds?
I think I first saw that. I think the first time I saw that movie, my grandma was babysitting me and it was just on TV. It's like, you know, when you're with your parents and you see boobs, imagine being with grandma having some tea and cookies and like, you know, face to face with
a
panty raid, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There were times. So just recently I had that situation. I was in Arizona and
is that a panty raid?
No,
Jesus,
no.
Dude.
But
you
I
were
was
Lake
watching.
Havasu, what were you doing?
So I'm like sitting at Karen's mom's house. Karen falls asleep and they're watching White Lotus and it's only me and her mom still awake. Karen's sleeping and it gets to the scene in White Lotus where they're like having
Aubrey Plaza.
Pretty fucking no, it was like two dudes, like they were like banging, get like total full on gay sex.
Yes.
And we were I was just like, I mean, listen, we're both two grown adults, but like I was like, man, I wish Karen was awake to like break this like silence right now. Cause we just like sat there and I was inside.
I would have been like, man, anybody else got a boner? What's up, man?
A great technique, am I right?
And just recently my friend Rick, shout out to Rick Collins out in Jersey. I don't know why I didn't even put two and two together. I was telling him how amazing Poor Things was. And he's like, oh, they're closing this 100-year theater in Chatham. I want to take my daughter to see a movie. Maybe we'll go see that. I didn't think anything of it. Yeah.
Ooh.
So he fucking like calls me like a day or two later. He's like, bro, he's like, I took my daughter and her boyfriend to see Poor Things before the closing. He's like,
and now I'm being charged as a sex offender.
pretty awkward. I was like, oh shit, your daughter and her boyfriend too. I mean, what's worse, just you and your daughter or your daughter and her boyfriend? Like,
yeah, that movie, forget about it.
Yeah. I remember sitting in the theater with my parents and watching like Tango and Cash and like fucking Roadhouse. Like, things weren't what you thought they were going to be, you know. But yeah, that one, my parents actually went to go see Poor Things. Like, it's nothing but sex.
There was a lot of sex going on in there, for sure. I mean, 100% still the best movie of 2023, in my opinion, for sure. Fuck Oppenheimer and its complete boredom. three-hour movie about, you know.
You weren't just mystified by Cillian Murphy's, like, vampiric eyes over and over again?
I mean, that's the only thing that kept me awake. Did you watch Oppenheimer?
Not yet. I can only consume things in small bites now, so.
You're right.
Basically, I'm watching, like, How To with Williams, the guy who films in my neighborhood, whatever, the HBO show where he puts all the clips together and makes jokes out of it, basically.
I've seen that. I was going to press play.
It's very funny, but it's all around my neighborhood. So I'm always like, oh, is it the fucking
Nathan.
I thought it was Nathan Felder. No. Okay.
It's produced by Nathan Felder. They're like connected.
Okay.
But it's that kind of sense of humor. That other show with Nathan Felder where like he takes people and like recreates like
that's
rebuilt Alligator Lounge in a soundstage.
Yo, they like rebuilt. They rebuilt. That's the one I watched. They rebuilt Alligator Lounge, and I was like, "What? Like, how do you even
bananas.
Come up with the concept of that show?" It was like
that show was bonkers.
It was so fucking weird. Yo,
that dude's taking
so
big
weird.
Swings, man. That curse, like he's one of those people. Whatever. When I hear he's got something coming out, I'm gonna check it out because I know it's gonna be, you know, an event.
Let's go through this record, right? So Everybody Loves Revenge. I mean, I have a theory as to what that title means, you know, after listening to the
title. I love
title
that
track.
Title.
I mean, is it just basically how us as a society just, you know, loves revenge, and if you kill me, I got to kill two of you?
Yeah, I mean, I love revenge. I always tell my wife my three R's are rock and roll, arena, and revenge, you know? Like, you got to have that. I was always very big on it, you know? These days, it's kind of I'm a little less into it as I used to be, you know, maybe because I see all the revenge on the subway left and right, you know.
Yeah.
But like,
hey, there was some revenge on that one guy, and I was like, you know what? If more people did that, then, you know, fuck it. It's like, you know, you pull out a gun on someone and he takes it and shoots you in the head. You earn that one.
Exactly, man. You got pop with your own piece, you know.
That's it. I saw that full video. Crazy.
I know. I watched it
as
well. I mean,
oh, I didn't get the full one.
I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Stay off the A. Stay off the A. Stay off the four. You know.
But yeah. So tell us about Revenge. Was I slightly right? As I
that song was just like that was like one of those songs I wrote in like 2 seconds. It kind of sounded like a kind of Rocket from the Crypt kind of vibe, and I kind of wanted to put a saxophone solo on the break, but then I thought it would be too much like that shit. But, I kind of just had that kind of vibe. Like, everyone loves revenge. I don't know. It just, it's one of those ones that just stream of consciousness poured out. It was just had the riff. I'm like, it just came out. I'm like, everybody loves revenge, you know?
Interesting that you say Rocket, too. Like, I love John Reese. Like, everything that guy does is pretty fucking wild.
He had a band called the Sultans, and, like, I downloaded their shit. And like it vanished, like, you know, like every now and then, like when you had iTunes, sometimes things just vanish from the iTunes store. Like, and then I could never find it again. It was a good record, but
Plosives was like the new thing that he did with the guy from Pinback. But I mean, it was enough to basically, you know, I guess, listen, naming a record, naming songs, like. You know, you're good with lyrics. I think you're good with words. You're good with lyrics. Where I feel like I have a harder time doing them. You know, like I feel like I have more songs than I have do lyrics, but I don't ever really feel like that's your problem.
It depends. It works sometimes. I mean, certain songs just come out and I really only have to like rewrite or tweak certain parts or I'll come up with a better line. Usually right when we're about to record it, that day something even better hits. Like I'm lucky with that. But then there's certain songs where like I've rewritten them 14 times. Like there's a, you know, a couple songs we didn't put on the record. There was one, I think I did the verses like 9 times and I just recut it and still it's just, you know, not where it is. And like the thing with working with Pete, like he's cool as shit with it, but like we record a lot of songs and sometimes it sucks. He puts all this work into something. And if we feel like it's below standard, we don't put it out, you know? So we've got like about an album's worth of like B-sides now. And that's usually the case of it. It's like, I just feel like it's always like me. I feel like I'm not selling a part of it right. I didn't get the lyrics right. I didn't sing this as good as I could have. It's never the other guys, you know? Like,
well, it's always going to be that way because we're the
yeah.
singers. And the thing with us is like in a band, you know, we're melody driven bands, and if we ruin the song,
Yeah.
then the whole song is ruined.
Or
No
a
one's
song's
gonna
just
be
not
like,
working. Yeah.
Yeah,
Like
or
sometimes
they're
I'll have
just they're gonna be like, oh, that drum beat is cool. Like, sure, they could say that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're writing these hooks because that's the type of band that we are. And if the singer ruins the song, like you or I, you know, there's certain songs that we've done that I can't even listen to because I'm like, this is so bad.
Or there's many ways you can ruin. There's one I ruined that I didn't necessarily sing bad, but we didn't put it on the record because I had this idea. I wanted to do like a song that's like kind of like No Use for a Name, like, or like Dylan or something, where like there's no chorus, even though like there's repeating parts, it's just a story through and through type thing where like it doesn't repeat. And I just, it just didn't work. I don't know. It's just, it was the first time I really tried something like that since I was like younger and writing songs like that, you know? But, since I learned how to write songs, I had to like deconstruct that out of my head. Because now I only think in terms of hooks and shit. So I tried to go back to my like more inexperienced self,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I fucking couldn't do it. I shit the bed on it. I should have just wrote a chorus for the song, and it would have been better, you know.
Yo, learning how to write songs is like a blessing and a curse, you know, because when you're younger, it's like you're listening to bands like Braid or the Get Up Kids or these older records that really have no. It's like there's 20 different parts and they're all good.
Oh yeah, the sky's the limit, you know.
And then one day you hear Tom Petty's Full Moon Fever, and you're like, oh, okay. That's pretty good too. Like I'll just do this. And I think I definitely went down that rabbit hole of like, okay, like now I'm so accustomed to what a song structure is that it's very rare for me to want to stray from that. So I have to compensate by hooks because if you're going to basically buy into this, like if the guitar parts, like when me and Tom were in the band together, Tom DeLeo, shout out to him, I guess. I thought we were writing really cool, interesting guitar parts, you know, and they worked very well together. But like now it's just like, okay, we're just a different type of band. And sometimes somebody will be like, oh, you guys used to be like more of a punk band. And I'm like, I guess I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
I
used to
know
be
what's...
more of a punk than I am today. I can't keep, you're always going to evolve. I mean, I was listening to like our first EP. It's some awesome, like interplaying guitar parts are like really cool, like counterpoint and shit. I don't write in terms of that. I'm playing voicings and chords I would never play today. I mean, they still sound cool, but it's just not where my hands go anymore because I think it does, all the bands just smooth out and get mellower as you go along. I mean, I remember when Bad Religion put out the New America and I was like, what are they trying to be, like friggin' Blink 182? Like, but you originally, you do that as you get older. You just slow it. And then you have the Return to Form it record after, you know, like, where you
there,
try to like get
yeah.
back to your roots,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
well, so many other aspects of anyone's life is going to change as years go by. So why wouldn't, you know, why
but
wouldn't that?
I remember seeing Smashing Pumpkins, and we'll bring it back to your cover because that's an interesting cover.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Smashing Pumpkins probably at MSG or something, or maybe it was around when Adore came out, and then they played Zero. And then they're like, you see, we could still rock. And it like stuck in my head because I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's like, I guess they still can, but they were not going in that direction at that time. You know,
I mean, it's hard when you don't have a drummer. I guess you're going to evolve into Portishead at that point. But it's like,
I love
and
Adore.
I like Adore. Don't get me wrong. I do.
Yeah.
I think everything after it I find to be relatively unlistenable. Because, and that's my ears. I can't get down with baritone riffs, dude. I've tried so many times to do it. I like Rock Lobster and Living La Vida Loca, but those are the only two I think I like. Like, just that I can't fuck with bands that roll like that. I have just something about it never worked for me. And he went so into the drop C, drop B shit. Like Prison Sex from Tool, that's another one. But there's really not too many I like, you know, like.
Well, there's some, like, I could put together like a good full album of everything post that era, you know,
The latest
everything that.
Triple album had a couple of bright spots, but none of it's as good as Gish or Siamese Dream. So what are you doing? You know,
It's
I
so
would put
much too. Like,
it is too much. Like
it's so
three.
much. I tried. I'm like, I can't do this and
Yo,
whole thing.
after the Sire, which was a double album, and I'll tell you, Sire, S, you know, CYR.
That's the one with like Sam Hain, that song. That song's all right.
There's
Great.
some really good
Yeah.
stuff on there, I think. But you know, it's just different to be like, it's not like Siamese Dream or Gish, because it's like,
Well,
you
of
know,
course, because
that
he's not that guy anymore. You know,
fucking 30
he's
years
not
ago.
getting Dennis Rodman wasted and making him miss games and getting himself banned from the fucking Bull Stadium anymore. You
But
know,
also, it's just like, you know, you just, you know, the shit that you listen to then, like, really, like, found its way into your soul, you
yeah, of
know,
course,
like, you hear
sure.
that and you're just, you know, you have like, we were just mentioning your son. It's like, you kind of don't really have a care in the world. He has no idea, but like, you're there listening to like Siamese Dream for the
I love
100th
how he has no
time.
idea about anything. Like, my wife's like, oh, we ordered him some gifts for Easter. One's not going to show up on time. I'm like, he's not going to notice.
Yo, I say that my brother, when my brother had one of his kids, I forget which one it was, but it was like his first, like their first birthday and this and that. I'm thinking like, bro, I'm like, do you even slightly remember your first birthday? Like,
Hell no.
what is the point
You
of
wouldn't
all
be able
this?
to because you have no frame of reference for it because you don't understand anything.
Yeah, like, what do you, like, this is for
It's
you.
about the
This isn't for
parent at
them.
that point.
Yeah, it's for you, not them. So
This is my party.
my kid's gonna think he had PTSD because the photo of him at his first birthday is we're handing him this cake and he's crying because he thinks he has to eat this whole fucking thing himself, probably. Like,
Oh,
like
well,
what?
listen,
It's such a funny picture. It's like he's terrified by it. It's hysterical.
I love cake, so don't threaten me, 'cause I'll, you know, he could tag me into that. All right, so you guys do a cover of Zero on the latest record. Why that song?
You know, I love that song. I just love those harmonics. It's just something I wouldn't write, and I always want to do things that I wouldn't do. You know, I find that interesting, if that makes any sense. Like to break up the monotony of it, because I think at this point, as a band, in the paradigm of the way we work, we've kind of already we've done everything we can do. I don't know how much further there is to go in any direction. So it's like I like to, you know, find little elements to garnish it up where I can. And I thought that was a song. I don't necessarily have the quirkiness that Billy Corgan has in his voice, but I could do it in my range, and we could do a very, very faithful cover of it. The only thing that we really changed, we made it slightly a little heavier with a little bit of muting and stuff that I always felt could have been in there. But aside from that, it's pretty much like, you know, when we do a cover, we either totally make it our own, like we did the Cars Drive for Jazz like thing, and that was
Oh,
like
yeah.
totally a rework of the song, like from our own lens. Or we do
Yeah,
it
that
like
was good.
Zero, where it's thanks, and it was pretty faithful to it, you know. So I
Yeah,
thought it was something we could do that worked. And it was like, we started playing it around Halloween because like that and Pet Sematary are good, like spooky songs to bring out around then. And I'm like, yeah,
yeah.
you know what? We were in the studio. We were starting the record. We were doing La Luna and Outsiders. We got Lee there. The drums are set up. Let's just fucking do Zero while we're at it. And we did. So that was kind of it too. It was kind of like, we were here. Why don't we just do it? You know, like,
It's you know, I don't think I love that band too much to ever be able to pick a song. And if I did, it would be something so obscure that it might as well be our song, where people will be like, what, like, who is this? Like, oh, it's Smashing Pumpkins cover. But Zero is just, you know, it's perfect enough where it's not their biggest song, but it's very recognizable enough, you know.
So besides Smashing, obviously Smashing Pumpkins, big influence, but I don't know a lot about your background. Like, what's like the first, what lit the fire? Like, what was your band? What was the thing that like made you go music? You know what I mean? What was your early remembrances like influence?
I mean, we are the world, we are the children. I remember that, like being like on MTV at all times. I mean, like the first song that like was in my head where I remembered the words, you could sing along. And from that
Sure.
point on, I was hooked on MTV, and I was just like in my room, like drawing pictures. I didn't have posters yet. I would like draw like Whitesnake and Bon Jovi and shit, and like That was just the stuff I was into, and Motley Crue. And then I had all those tapes, like Rat, Warrant, Crocus, like you fucking name it, you know, Cinderella.
Wow,
But
you went for
I was
Crocus
into,
too.
I yeah, Screaming in the Night, man, that was my
Yeah,
shit. But
that
no,
dude had
Brian's
impressive chest hair. I
no.
remember a lot
Who,
of chest
Brian or the
hair
singer?
and like a
Yeah,
fro. Oh, bull. He had
third
like a
grade, I was,
tight. He had like a perm. He had
Yes.
the guy from he had the dude from Foreigner's head on his chest, like he was no joke. But then I didn't, but it wasn't. I didn't want to be a musician. Yeah, I just was so into it. Then it was, I saw Welcome to the Jungle. That was it. It was Guns N' Roses. It was
Yeah.
like I wanted to be Axl, Slash, and Duff. I wanted to be all of them. Like, I think that was it. That was Appetite. I remember, and I wasn't allowed to have the record because of the bad words on it. So like my mom like took my cassette and like taped to a cassette the songs that weren't as bad, even though they were still pretty bad anyway. You know what I mean? Like she
Wow.
took out like It's So Easy and Out to Get Me, and then she
Best
gave up
song
by
on
the
the
time You're
record.
Crazy was on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Best song on the album is It's So Easy.
Yeah, not like I didn't go to my friend's house and get them back a week later. I mean,
That's
shit,
some
dude, it could
pretty
take.
thorough shit to like edit
I
and
know.
re-record it. And she had to listen to
I'll.
it, taking notes, and like,
It
drop that up.
would. You got time to
It
fucking do this, right? You can't go food shopping, right?
Yeah, it would have been great if she re-recorded the songs for him. She's like, Brian, I'm going to do my own version of It's So Easy. I'm going to change the lyrics.
Get a karaoke background tape
She could do
recently.
that. She couldn't learn how to not overcook a steak, but whatever. Sorry.
Heyo.
Sorry, Mom. I love you. Love
Do
you.
you feel, did you feel, representation that both you and Axel had red hair?
Definitely. Besides Tiffany, I can't think of any other like redheaded big
Simply Red.
stars, you
Don't
know?
sleep on Simply Red.
What? Simply Red, Spandau Ballet, like all those bands I didn't were kind of just passing out. I love the song from The Breakfast Club, but New Wave besides The Cure, I didn't really get into until a little later. I love Crowded House too for some reason. They like really stuck with me. But yeah, it was Appetite was like the thing. And then yeah, I started playing guitar. And then I was like, oh, this is going to be harder than I thought. You know what I mean? Like, because, yeah, you can play like Out to Get Me and a couple of the riffs, but like
I still can't.
that, besides like I Used to Love Her, but I Had to Kill Her, they were all really
Yeah.
hard to play. You know, like,
Yeah, sure.
and but then Smells Like Teen Spirit comes out. And like that was like, so then like Nevermind was like the next big thing. And then like Green Day and shit, like you could start
Oh
playing
yeah.
these things.
You're right, man. It's
That's what the
easy for
Ramones did for me too, yeah.
so Langan, you got like
Ramones
four.
Mania too. That was another one I got where it was like, oh, I want to live. I can play that,
You got it four or five on me, and I think I got one or two on Mar, but like for like our universe, as much as we went away from Nirvana afterwards, we're like, okay, like I'm sick of this. It there really was like, I mean, for me, like when Nevermind came out, like people learned how to play music to that.
Oh yeah.
Like I would see local fucking kids have Nirvana cover bands, and I couldn't comprehend how to play music at that time, but I would see people play those songs like, Rape Me or fucking
Yeah. All of a sudden
Smells
the
Like Teen
football team has striped shirts with like long sleeves under them and greasy long
Spirit.
hair, and they're fucking
Yeah.
playing fucking
That's it.
Breed, you know?
Yeah,
That was a
yeah.
glorious time, man.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing what we got on a plane today and breed, so.
Sweet.
Nice. We used to cover Breed. It was a pretty good video on YouTube. We did like somebody filmed us in New Jersey playing Breed, and it was like really good. Like the kids knew it, they were going nuts. I mean, it just, I mean, my neighborhood now was like, it's like literally walking around 1994. It's like hysterical. Except all these people have no clue because they're all take themselves so seriously and aren't any fun. But like they're all this fashion wise, it's completely that shit,
I can't like when people take themselves serious, like it's
It's.
just like it even back then before the internet, like growing up, if you had no sense of humor, I just didn't want to be around you because I knew eventually I was going to say some shit
Yeah.
that was just gonna, and I'm like, I can't operate. Like, it's just not fun for me to be around
Like,
someone.
I would do things to a standard, of course, but I never thought anything I was doing was bold or fucking important. Like, get over yourself, man.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. So real quick before I ask you what records influence this, there's the one song that I told you about that I want to mention, Fun City. I texted you And this song in particular, I was like, you did something that I've always wanted to do, which was write My Fallen Angel. And I think Fun City just has this really cool mixture, like, of the best of that, old rock universe.
There's that story of like the innocent person who comes to the big bad city and like everything goes off the fucking rails. You know, that's kind of, fortunately, like I mentioned, that story was a true story. Like down to like, I didn't really have to really embellish much. I mean, obviously, you take some creative liberties with making a song work within its structure, but I mean, generally, 90% of that is like word for word. Unfortunately, a person we hung out with. That was their story, start to finish. Like,
But like, as far as the music goes and the melody, like, how did that all come about? Because, like I said, it just it's probably my favorite song on the record. I think it
nice.
just
I mean, it's
I don't know.
basically Prison Bound from Social Distortion, but just on speed. But
Oh yeah,
it's like.
that's another. Yeah, you're right. It's like, to me, that's a good one. So Prison Bound and Fallen Angel, for sure. Those are the two things, for sure. And I wish I
But
wrote
yeah, I
both
mean,
those
that's
songs.
one. It's funny because all of our records, any album we've ever made, it's never been the album I set out to make. It's just the world gets a hold of it as we're making it and things happen and whatever. And they end up being what they are. And this was a song I'd been writing for a long time, like back, way back, like when it was like me, Justin, and Hess, like, you know what I mean? And it just didn't work, it didn't gel then. But some of those lyrics were the same and some of the parts were. And then I don't know, when I've been doing a lot of open mics at Bar Frida, like before Killian was born. Now you can't even get in the line down the street with all the new stars from Parts Unknown who've moved here. But
Yeah,
like it was an easy.
I was gonna say both shows we played there were pretty nicely attended, just random. I'm like, who are these people,
Dude.
God?
They're open mic, Jesus Christ. But I mean, I kind of I didn't want to keep. I was going there every Monday, and you do two songs, and I don't like to repeat myself. I'd do like one if one had done well, I'd do it again. But in general, this was an easier type thing to play acoustically and translate. So I started working on it again, and it just clicked. All of a sudden, the parts were there, and it was like, all right. And I wanted to do it like I was very clear with Pete mixing it on the notes. Like I rarely do a song where I sing both parts, like where I do I'm sorry, I do all my harmonies and stuff, but I don't usually do harmonies throughout an entire song. I wanted to do like Simon and Garfunkel, like Sound of Silence type thing, where I just where it's like the two voices in this
Oh yeah.
harmony, because it adds extra sadness and moroseness to I wanted that feel, you know what I mean?
I'm a
Like
big
so.
fan. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. It happens rarely, but yeah, like the double vocal for something, it just you'll never do it live, obviously. It's just one of those things that it's such a part of the production part of it. But yeah, when you listen to it, it's like, yeah, for sure. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, so that was kind of all those parts finally clicked, and then we made the song work. I mean, a lot of some of these songs are brand new, but some of them kick around for a while, as you know. Sometimes you have a riff you're working on for like years, and then one day, like in a dream, the next part just comes out, Like,
Well, also, like, you guys are mostly fans of the full album, where obviously I've ventured off into like the single or the EPs and stuff like that. I know you just
well.
dropped a single as well. What's the name of that song? What's the name of the new song?
Racing to the Red Lights.
Yeah, so just basically give us like the game plan for what you're doing coming up.
Well, let me to take it back to the label. So the thing with being on a label though is that you have the freedom now. So you write something, you put it out, you can do what you want, put it out when you want. Now you're in the system where like you want to do certain things and people are telling you no. So that's the only thing that's kind of like it's great that someone paid to make our stuff, but now they have certain control about our schedule. And back in like late 2020, I was kind of like, world's almost over. I was like, the album as a, I love the album as a format, but I was like, it's not happening right now in the world. I'm like, what we should do is release each song once a month. That's what I wanted to do. And like, no, the consultants say that, it's good to have a big drop at once because there's more things that can get picked up by the algorithm and this and the other thing. I'm like, once you're listening to consultants, that's already bad news because once they know about it, people have already moved on to the next thing. I'm like, you know, I wanted to do that. Got overrided, put out the record, didn't really do what I wanted it to. So this time it was more like, all right, if we have to go that route again, at least put out like four or five singles in advance of it. I mean, bands are putting out seven or eight, and then they're just putting them all together at the end with like one more,
Yeah.
whatever. So that was kind of the gist. We were able to do four and then drop the record. And that was really good because all the algorithm that picked up those songs to a degree, then when the record dropped, it actually ended up in people's release radars. There's new singles not doing that as well. But I think when we compile some of the new B
It's
sides we're going to put out on some
all
EP,
over
we might get
mine.
another shot with it, you know? Yeah.
It's all over mine. Like whenever I open up Spotify, it's like the first, it's like a
Well, I
feature.
appreciate it, man. You're like one of like the five people that are getting it.
Yeah,
That's
so.
awesome, man. You know, but I mean, I can just see the metrics, and I try not to get like I don't want that to dictate my happiness, but I do try to like
Sure.
I find it interesting how like now you open and you look at it, who's playing it, where is this playing, why is this happening, and not. It's interesting to see this contrasting the opening day of the album. All of a sudden, when I woke up in the morning, there were like a couple thousand plays, whatever. And it was all the release radar driving it, as opposed to the single, not so much this time. But we'll see. I just got on a couple of playlists. We'll see if that like turns it around. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
But ultimately, I don't give a fuck.
it never makes sense to me. Like I sent one out to Release Radar for our last one, and it did whatever. And then I guess automatically Spotify added one that we didn't pitch, and then that hit
That
everyone's
happens
really.
too, yeah.
And I that was the first time it happened for us, and it like fucking like blew through. And I was just like, holy shit. I'm like, okay, like this is, it did like
Yeah,
30
we
times.
had pitched Break and Enter, and they were like, nah, that's not happening. And they put Falling Through, and it went much bigger. That's
Okay.
how it is, you know?
Yeah. All right. So wrapping up
And
here,
nobody knows. Like,
no one does.
I was gonna say, like, no one knows, man. That's the whole thing with music. Like, you just take shots, you get an at bat, you see what happens. But, you know, the world we're in, we're not getting any real money behind us. That's the only way to really, you know, get things through the gate, you know? And unless, like, one of the bands on the label, the Carolyn, like, they do well.
Oh,
Somehow they had a
they're
song that
doing
just did
great.
200,000, you know? No, they're great. They have great
I'm
songs. That's what
playing
matters,
with
you know?
them next week. No, next month. So I'm doing a
Are you
solo
playing that
show with
fest on
them.
my birthday?
Yeah. The 27th or 28th of April.
Yeah. I got to, I'm gonna stop by and try to maybe catch lunch with those guys or something. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know them, and I saw that you guys were on the same label, and I was like kind
They
of
all of a
blown
sudden,
away.
man, they just got picked up. One of their songs did good. All of a sudden, guys in Germany heard it and invited them over, and they went and toured there twice. Like that's just how it happens sometimes, you know? You
Yeah.
like compare it to, look, they are super talented. They're awesome guys. I love them. But like, you ever have that friend? Every time you go to a gas station, they buy a scratch off and win like $60. Like that's just those dudes, you know.
Yeah.
They
Yeah.
work at it, but like they have luck, man. Like you need that too, you know. Like,
Listen, anytime you're big in Germany, that's luck. Udo
yeah,
Dirks,
them and Hasselhoff.
you got that Udo Dirks Schneider
Balls
cosign.
to
You got that Udo
the wall,
cosign,
man.
and
Yeah.
yeah, that's hot in the streets. So, I asked you to just pick some albums that, you know, have influenced you later in life, maybe have influenced you in the making of this last record. So give me some of those and then we could wrap.
Oh man, I wrote them down on my phone, but now I can't look at them because I'm on Zoom. So I'm gonna have to wing it, man. You know, it's funny. I started listening to Trouble Gum from Therapy. That was like a record I loved a lot as a,
Interesting.
like a teenager and shit. Like I think I was getting back into them.
You know, they got like new music out and they're still,
Yeah, I listened to it.
they never stopped. And our buddy Tom Bennett is like a big Therapy fan. And yeah, man, he's still championing them like 30 years later at Beery's.
Ongoing joke, like song, like after that era, they had this song called 6 Mile Water. Like the first line is, "We got drunk and ended up in a shit-filled sand pit." And then, like I think a member of the band died, and I was so bummed that I texted my buddy Buckman, who was also the only other person I was a Therapy fan. I'm like, "Oh, the dude died." He's like, "Did they bury him in a shit-filled sand pit?" I was like, I
Jeez.
don't know, real inside joke, I guess, but like, but love the band. Like I listened to that, and To Bring You My Love from PJ Harvey, I got like really back into. Just like, I don't know, gave me an excuse to be more. I don't really curse in my songs, but I'm like, man, she can be fucking like vulgar. I'm gonna fucking be vulgar a little bit, you know? Like, what else?
I never like censor myself, but I never really think about it. You know, even like when we're like uploading stuff and it's like, does this song have a curse? I really have to go through the lyrics because I never, th I'm like, maybe it does, but I don't remember.
I think maybe your mom and that Guns N' Roses album might have
Yeah, I think
filtered
that's
that
it.
into you, man.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I in
Work.
our common when we speak, I just can't stop. It just pops out. But I try
Yeah.
when I write lyrics and stuff, I think of it more of as like an assignment. So I try to, unless there's a, I don't want to use like a curse word. Should be powerful. It should be like an emphasis. There should be a
Right.
reason why. Like our new song, "Racing the Red Lights." Yeah, that one's got one in there because it belongs there. You know what I mean? I'm not just trying to like channel my Zach De La Rocha and throw a motherfucker to sound bad sometimes. Like I want it like to actually be poignant, you know, like grab attention, you know, like,
I have
although
an
this by this
idea.
point it's going.
I was gonna say, I think the next EP, I might just curse all through it.
All
Yeah.
curses.
Yeah.
There
I
you
don't
go.
know,
Call it all
just to see.
curses.
Yeah, or cursed. You know, fucking lick twat, cocksucker, motherfucker. I mean, there's only a few of them. I guess I'm gonna have to add in some
Well,
extra things.
maybe have the song like about a certain word and like pay tribute to the word fuck and like instances of it, you know,
Seven. You can
like
use
that
this
shit.
term, yeah.
Seven
Or
songs.
use curses that are curses not here. Like you want to like use some cool British curses that are on a level that we're not on. You know, it's awesome.
Sure.
You know
That's
what I mean?
another option. I know we're very big in the UK.
You're allowed
So
to say cunt and it'd be charming though. Like, doesn't have the same play when you're American and say everyone looks at you like you farted.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I
Oh,
can only think of
might not think of
that
that.
song "Bad Obsession" from Guns N' Roses. I can't think of anyone else that uses that even
Well,
like
also
besides death metal, you know, like
Anthrax.
okay.
Of course.
Anthrax, right? Starting up a posse. I'm starting up a posse. You see, I can't do it. They already did it. So, actually, we could do a
That's
cover
right.
of Queens of the Stone Age "Feel Good" hit of the summer and just replace the drugs with curses.
There
There
you
you go.
go. Sample game
Want that
call in.
parental advisory sticker going
Working.
for
That's it. So, like
it. You
Brian's
don't
mom will
want
be
Walmart to
like,
carry your shit.
yeah, Brian's
We put
mom.
the parental advisory on our record, man. You know, it's got to hold it down, you know. When you
Brian's
were a kid,
mom
though,
will.
like if it didn't have that on it, you didn't even want it. Like, I don't know. I can't Yeah,
fuck with
fuck
this.
crash
Where's
test
the
dummies, these
sticker?
pussies.
Well, I'll always bring up the time that I bought that House of Pain album that was censored, and they had that song
Ooh.
"Shit Kick." Put on your shit kickers and kick some shit. It was like, put on your and kicks. Put on your and kick. And like
What's worse, when they drop the word out or they give it like a little zipper sound effect? Which one's more off-putting?
Or they ad lib a different word. I remember like what it's like. Remember like when like after 9/11, every single word had to be edited from every radio song, and like Everlast, "What It's Like." Like you couldn't even say "Smoke the Finest Green." Like smoke the mean, like
Yeah.
the backwards shit, you know. But yet
Or
there's always songs where they
Jimmy
let them
World was
curse.
like, "No bleed American for you."
Now, how come? But then, "Who Are You?" Right from the Who. He says, "Who the fuck are you?" on Q104.3 five times a day, and they never edit. Why is that one allowed to go through? You know what I mean? Like, bring that shit in from Raid. That one never gets cut for some reason. I don't like.
Selective
racism.
Maybe that's what I think. I used to sometimes, I remember growing up watching movies on like Channel 9 with the edit, like The Breakfast Club. I saw edited more than the other one. So I'd be like, "Oh, Dad, flip you." And I almost
Oh,
like grew
God.
to like love the horribly edited ones
I
because they're
remember
so funny.
Young Guns, "Reap the World When You Buzzard."
Yo, I remember Scarface. Where'd you get
God.
that scar from, tough guy? Eating pineapple? He's like, how
Is
am I gonna
great.
get a scar like this from eating pineapple? I was just like, wow. All right,
You,
pineapple kind of
I
works
love
real
like
good.
when they overdub in a wildly different voice too. You can kiss my eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Back then they were just like, yeah, whatever. It's just,
Yeah, I
you
didn't
know,
give a
Channel
fuck.
11 PIX movie of the afternoon, you know? Like,
Oh yeah. Shout out to Marvin Scott, man. I don't know what he's up to, but he was definitely holding down on Channel 11 for a minute. Anything else that you've been digging up that's been influencing your anthemic wrist?
I mean, I don't even know. See, I just, you know, constantly, we always got music on in the background. I'm always like, I've been recollecting records as old dads do now, but only for this reason that I'd like there to be a decent library for my son. Just cause I'm not convinced Spotify is going to exist in 10 years. I don't know that like Apple or any streaming platform will, because businesses change. And if something becomes not lucrative anymore, which it already isn't, things go under. So I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket, even with like, who knows, maybe all servers will go down. There'll be a solar storm that destroys the internet. You know what I mean? Like, who fucking knows? So I want to like have some physical copies still for like him to have reference of if he's into it. You know, so I've been trying to recollect a lot of things and putting them on. Mostly the records I found influential in my formative years, you know? But as far as that, like, what else have I been listening to, like, to go back to?
Or what's an album? What's an album that has never changed for you, that you've always just loved, and that's really just inspires you as like a songwriter?
I mean, still Recipe for Hate from Bad Religion. Like when they first jumped to Atlantic, and it kind of became alternative. You know, like I like them more then. You know, that one never gets old. There's a couple of records that just never get old for you. It's the 59 Sound. I didn't always feel happy when I put it on. It just never gets old. You know what I mean? Like, and he wrote that start to finish almost consecutively. That I can't do. Like, it's always Where the Day Takes Me when it comes to writing, you know, like,
Recipe for Hate's so good. Just like everything on there, like just unbelievable fucking stuff. You know, you could
and just the tones of it. Eddie Vedder, kind of unknown guest star singing backups in two of the songs.
Yeah,
you know? It's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. But definitely Gaslight, 59 Sound. So cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, same for us as far as Gaslight. As I get older, I identify a lot with, you know, Brian Fallon and what he does. Even it took me a minute to get into the solo records that he put out, but I finally came. There's some good stuff.
I like Painkillers. My issue with like Sleepwalkers, if you're gonna like, all right. I feel like you should be allowed. You're allowed to use the same progression once a record, maybe. When you have 14 songs and it's all the same fucking progression, dun, 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 dun. It's in every song. And then every time I listened to it, I waited, and every song, without fucking doubt, except the title track, the only song I like, fucking every single one had the same progression. So I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Then he put out Local Honey. Every fucking song's got the same progression. Even that Bryan Adams knockoff song, they've all got it, you know? Which, look, I get it. It's decent stuff. I'm happy history books didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's enough, and the progression is on there, but he didn't overuse it. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't cook with too much sugar. You got to mix it up a little bit, you know? Like, then for me, for my ears, and my ears are in my crazy head. So, you know?
Yeah. To me, you know, it just comes down to the song. And, you know, I would always notice, you know, Matt Skiba, Alkaline Trio, where Dan progressed, I think, as a songwriter. I think Matt definitely stayed in his lane and, you know, kept it very ADE.
Yeah. He's another guy who, like, I don't like, if you're going to do a step out of your band and do a solo record, it shouldn't just sound like an Alkaline Trio record. Like I would never listen to a David Gilmour record because it's just Pink Floyd. It sounds exactly the same. Like, there's no difference to it. Like, I like, if you're going to come outside of your band, do something fucking wild, you know, do something that like people aren't expecting, something advanced, you know, like, just for like my taste, you know, I don't know.
No, for sure. Listen, Alkaline Trio, like those guys, you know, Dan and Matt are like two of my favorite songwriters on the planet. Everything that they've done outside of that band, I do not give one fuck about. Maybe Heavens, maybe.
The Heavens sounds like Alkaline Trio. It's not that different. It's still like the tone and the construction of the songs, you know?
It's more of like, it has more synth and new wave. It sounds like Alkaline Trio demos, basically. You know, but listen, may we all find that success, which we never will. So,
but hey, look, the new record I'm liking. I mean, like, all of a sudden,
I love it.
It's got like hair metal influence to it. They're using heavier riffs. They're doing things I've not heard them do. So that's like, I like that. I like that when bands just continue to evolve and not repeat themselves. Because like, you already made the last record, man.
I know, but I like both. Like, to me, if one record, you know, is if if you make two records and they sound the same, but they're all good, like I don't really care. Like I don't.
All
need
right, all right,
people.
fine. You get two in a row. You have like a Smith. Like fine. You have friggin' Diary and the Pink Album. They basically are the same thing. You have 59 Sound and American Slang. Same producers, same kind of structures. Like, fine. I'll give you two. The third record, you better do something fucking different. You know, like I don't know.
You have Crocus.
But you don't
self-titled.
Like AC/DC, probably. I mean,
well,
been...
you know, you have a singer switch in the middle of there. So I'll give you prop.
Yeah, sure.
I'll give you. You know, after the record after Back in Black, yeah, I think they're all right. You know, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind Agreed. Of fun. I don't know. Something about AC/DC though doesn't bother me as much. Because you know what you're getting with AC/DC. You know, like, at least, I don't try to think of a better way to put it, but
what would
they don't have to reinvent the wheel to still make it work. Like,
right.
There's a few that obviously, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. Like, I'm not, they don't bother me as much, but like, you know, I can't keep listening to like Millencolin or something because every record sounds exactly the same, you know, like.
Right.
What would Keel do?
Keel would go country, man, and he traded in his hairspray for an old pickup truck, man. You know what he was doing?
I'll never forget it. Like I'll remember on my deathbed.
No, all three of us will never forget it. I'll never forget watching that. Where are they now? And first
Didn't
of all,
he have like a hound dog in there.
First of all,
I barely knew who that guy was. That he was getting that much attention.
I knew who everyone was, and when that guy said I traded in the yachts and the mansions, I'm like, yo, who the fuck is this guy? What traded it in? Because what they got repossessed? Like, how did you get any of this shit?
I refer to Fed because he was, you know, he was more of that era. And he's like that guy has street cred, I guess, but I don't know. Like, I guess, but then again, there was so much money to go around, like that.
You're right. Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe even Anvil got a big advance back then, right?
I was just going to say, like, growing up, though, like, I still, like, and I was a metalhead from the jump, like, I never knew anyone fucking with Anvil or Keel. Like, nobody was ever wearing that shit. The only Keel thing I ever remembered was he was in this band, Steeler, that was Yngwie Malmsteen's first band when he came over here, when he signed or whatever. That's the only thing I knew about that guy until that
until that video, I'm like, oh, no more Keel. I was like, wait, who the fuck is Keel? It's like that scene in Three Amigos where he's going to everyone. He's like, Jose, remember? Like, kill the horses.
I know what I'm going to be looking up on YouTube tonight.
Prune the hedges.
See what he's up to.
You're going to go down a Keel rabbit hole. Oh, Keel. Keel owns a one shop venue in South Dakota. That's actually really nice. A lot of bands play there. That's what he's doing.
All right.
Because I looked into trying to get booked one time.
Is this the Keel? He's like, sure.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think we could get him, Sam.
Oh, without a doubt. If we can get Brian Marr of Black Suit Youth and Brian Parker of Sky Came Falling. I feel
the
like
guy from Black Keel. Label Society is on your latest one that's out right now. I'm pretty sure you can get Keel. I mean,
in all
I
fairness,
I didn't grow up with Ron Keel, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, Ron Keel's not Mattituck.
I am pretty sure you could send Kevin Bacon to Keel if you need to.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have to learn about Keel, though, and write and think about what should I ask Ron Keel.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be funny if you do get him and he watches this episode for reference of what this is.
It's over.
Yeah. And he'd be like, I was going to say yes, and then I had time to kill and I listened to your stupid episode with the guy from Black Suit Youth.
Make sure you follow us.
But all right, I'll put links for the new record. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out. You know, maybe you'll come back. Maybe you'll come back for 187. Who knows? You know, if this episode blows up,
around the corner,
and the crowd needs you in another.
I thought mathematically we were almost there, but I guess we fell a little short of it.
No, so I don't know. We've done way over 187 because we've done the presents. We've done just the like crossover stuff, like.
But actual numericals, I thought the last one you put up was like 183 or something.
I should probably know. I don't.
No, it's
because you can hold me back to 187 if it's not up there yet.
No, 180.
We were going for Keel for 187.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, you know what? If we get Keel for
Parker was 179.
Yeah.
So we're right almost there.
That's it. So
shout out to Parker. All right.
Yeah. I play drums. Yeah, I love
playing
when
a lot
he
of drums lately, you know. Parker, I tried to do a band with in high school and he was elusive. Like he'd show up to one practice and then he'd vanish for like a couple of weeks, you know. But he'd
gotta
be
go
fucking
play
playing back
Paperboy.
then. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, listen, he's a fucking
He had great
savage
drum
on the
rolls,
drums.
man. He was great wrists, you know. But to his credit, I was writing really bad songs senior year, so I can understand why he'd go towards remorse instead, you know.
Yeah, we should ask him what he really thought, why he never showed up. So next episode, we'll be like, hey, remember when you and Brian Marr were in a band
Whatever his
together?
excuse is better than what we were doing. He could have been sitting in his room beating off. It's better than playing with us at that point, like
Yes.
without doubt, you know. Like,
I'm sitting in my room beating off. All right, cool. So before this episode descends some more, we will talk to you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll see you guys out there in the ether, man. All right.
Well, all right,
later, Brian 1, Brian 2.
Peace.
Adios. Peace.